Hallelujah. Chad, I saw you switch places. You don't have to. I saw that. You know, before I get started on the message, I don't know, y'all, Kenneth Copeland called the year of 2022 a year of correction, direction, protection, and perfection. He says that in the spirit, soul, and body, this will happen. In finances, churches, and government. And in 2022, it all belongs to you. In 2022, you will know what to do. And with that, I'll say, your voice speaks loud. Your actions at the polls speaks even greater. Amen? I think it's time for a booster, right? Time for a booster. That's why we're having communion today. See, because I am fully vaccinated by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I make my stand on. I know that's what my daughter makes her stand on. And we stand on Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Went to a doctor's appointment the other day. Not me, Lee, just to see someone. And, you know, they spent a good 20 minutes or so telling her about getting the vaccine. Partway through, they said, well, what do you think? She said, no, not getting the vaccine. Though they proceeded to speak even more. When they were all done, they said, well, she says, I'm not getting the vaccine. Don't you understand? And they just looked at her like, what's wrong with you? She said, let's get the reason why I'm here. You've already wasted 20 minutes. Let's talk to what I'm here for. Praise God. I mean, you know, they are pushing that more than anything. Well, I'm going to push Jesus even more. Amen. So that's why I say, time for our booster. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. But now, thus says the Lord. So we're establishing it. Who's speaking? The Lord. Through the prophet. Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. That's verse 1. We are God's people. And he knows each of us by name. I believe he knew each of us by name the day of conception. You're going to say, well, you know, my parents didn't name me. Well, you know what? They were thinking about it all along, but God already had your name picked. God told your parents, call him Chad. And when they looked at your wife, she's Lisa. You know? Then when he says, she's going to be called Diane. God called each and every one of you. Called you Mel. Calls him Mel. And calls the little one Mel. Praise God. So when he yells Mel, all four of you guys say, yes, sir. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart. I'm telling you. See, because once you train them up, it's not your responsibility any longer. It's God's promise to fulfill what you've done. So make sure you do a good job. Verse 2. When you go through, hear that? Go through deep waters, I will be with you. Now who's speaking? Right. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Thus says the Lord. God's method of deliverance is often not out of, but through. His presence, as we go through difficulties, you hear what I said? His presence, as we go through difficulties, becomes our deliverance. The prophecy says, when you go through the fire, when you go through the fire, this is a promise from God. You understand? Whose job is it to fulfill the promise? His, not yours. This promise was made to his people, and we are God's people. Now, that was made 100 years or so before the walkthrough of the fiery furnace by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He promised it. Okay? They didn't go through it alone, did they? His presence as we go through. It's his presence. Jesus was with them. You talk about the presence of God. And there was how many? Even Nebuchadnezzar witnessed it. Who's in there with them boys? Huh? Like the Son of Man. Come on, that's God in there. That's Jesus. They weren't breaking out no sweat. They were with Jesus. And he is there with us through the fires of oppression that we face today. We will not be consumed by the flames. No way. He is with us. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. We're talking Psalm 23. That's verse 4. But now, listen to that. In the Passion Translation. Even when you, God, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. And what's love got to do with it? You got that right. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. I like that. So that means we got to draw near to God. And he will draw near to us. Because the scripture says in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You are sinners. Yeah? So cleanse sin out of your lives. Yeah? We all have sinned and fallen short. But because of grace, see, it's grace. We don't want to abuse that grace. So we need to avoid sin. That's what he said. Wash your hands. You can. You have the ability. Power and love and of self-control. You can fight off the temptations and trials of the devil. He doesn't make you sin. He tempts you to sin. It's you who sins because the flesh is weak. And he knows that. But he says, just repent, come to me, and I will show you my forgiveness. I will show you my love. I will show you my grace. Let me finish that. It says, you are trying to follow God and the world at the same time. Make your thinking pure. Make your thinking pure. That means quit being double-minded. The scripture says in James 1:8, double-minded people are unstable in all they do. To be double-minded is to be inconsistent, vacillating. To be and act one way today and be and act some other way tomorrow. Why? It's just like the wind blowing the sea. The waves go back and forth. See, it's out there what's affecting us. Floats us back and forth. Are we going with God or are we not going with God? Are we going with God or are we going to trust what man says? You know, quit being double-minded is what he's trying to tell us. Now, there's a lot of things that affect us out there. But what did Jesus do? He spoke to the wind and to the storm. He said, be still. He spoke to it. You can speak to the situations around you. You can. But he says, unstable, not consistent, such as not steady in action, wavering in purpose, lacking steadfastness, not firm or fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now, Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Awesome psalm. It's a psalm we should be reading every day. Read it in the morning. Read it in the noontime. Read it when the sun goes down. It pays off. It pays off. It's always the word that pays off. It pays great dividends. Especially when you speak it in faith. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells. Okay, so that means you got a choice. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. The rest of the promises of Psalm 91 are contingent on these first two verses. So we must choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And we must lean on, rely on, and confidently trust in the Lord. Now, in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, the Lord is with you as long as you are with the Lord. If you look for Him, He will let you find Him. If you diligently seek the Lord, you will find Him. The Lord is with us as long as we are with Him. We can't follow God and the world at the same time, can we? We will be without joy in our lives because we are not in His presence. There is joy in His presence. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our praise and worship is very important. It brings in the very presence of God. Your personal praise and worship time brings in the presence of God. And He gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61:3, so if you want to write down the scripture. And God inhabits the praises of His people. Psalm 22:3. Some of your versions say enthroned. But He inhabits our praises. What does this mean? It means that when you praise Him, His praise descends upon you, overtakes your circumstances, anoints you with revelation and supernatural wisdom. Do you ever notice when you get done praising? It seems like everything comes into place because His presence is felt. He can feel His presence. Our praise is important. That prayer time, or that service that we do, our praise and worship, brings His presence into the house. His presence is here this morning. I feel the presence of God. I couldn't minister the way I do without His presence. His glory fell, and He fell in this house this morning with us. In Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Oops, I didn't give a verse, did I? Well, we're going to read the whole psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for the acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet, Timothy. Time for you to come up and do one with a trumpet here. Praise Him with a harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Jay, Janice. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Theodore. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we put on the garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness, depression, and hopelessness leaves, and we are filled with the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength to face every situation, every circumstance, every giant that steps before you. And they're going to come down. Is there not a cause? As David said. And he charged the giant. He didn't run from him. He ran to him to defeat him. What we must do to the giants we face, take them. Face them head on. Don't fear them. Greater is He that is in you. And giants are coming down. They don't stand a chance, no matter how big they are. When that little guy went running against that 10-foot man, that 10-foot man thanked that just because he was that big and all that armor and sword that he got and the words that he kept speaking against David and cursing him and the people were going to make him fear him. No. When he started moving toward David, David took off at a run for him. I'm not afraid of you. I don't listen to what you say, giant. I listen to what God says. And God's with me. He was with me when I took down a bear and I took down a lion. So I'm not afraid of you. And he wasn't. And he took down the giant. And you know, he didn't fall backwards. He fell face down. But wham! And then David, what'd he do? He said, oh, I need to finish this. Oh, he had to go and take the sword from the Goliath and get himself ahead. And he did. He moved ahead from that day on. Amen. But he had the anointing on him to do that. When Samuel anointed him and poured the oil on him, the Spirit of God filled him. Gave him power. Y'all got born again, you got the Spirit. But now you need the anointing and the fullness of the power of the Spirit. And that comes by the laying on of hands. Is that all? Yeah, that's all. That's what it takes. And you will be powerful in Jesus' name. Now again, that Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. Your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus was pierced in his side with the spear of man's hatred. Eternal pleasures are found hidden in the wounds of Christ, where Jesus responded to the world's hatred with sacred blood and water flowing from his side. This song, woo, forgiveness and grace splashed on the dirt that day. You'll hear that? It's forgiveness and grace from the Lord. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are now seated with Christ, our victorious Lord, at the right hand of God. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. It should excite you. Woo! Jesus. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God. In Him will I trust. Now verse 3. Surely. I didn't say surely, I said surely. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That's those traps that are set for us by the devil. So to ensnare us. He does it through temptation. And from the perilous pestilence. He shall surely deliver us. That's a promise if we do what's in 1 and 2. Surely he shall deliver us from the perilous pestilence. See, this is why it's time for the booster. Perilous pestilence. Perilous means full of danger. Dangerous. What is a pestilence in the Bible? Pestilence means a deadly and overwhelming disease that affects an entire community. So he shall deliver us from dangerous diseases. Okay? Severe acute respiratory. Okay? Diseases that affect us. The SARS-CoV-2 is a disease. You hear me? It's a disease. And in Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, we have been redeemed from it. And every one of the variants. Every one of the variants. They keep coming up with new variants to keep us in fear. Well, we're not buying into that fear. We did what they said for a while, but we're not going to buy into the fear. The scripture says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? Spiritual death, poverty, sickness and disease. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which sickness and disease are a part of, the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Yeah, that Holy Spirit. With the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you have power, unlimited, inexhaustible power to do what others say is impossible. What you know cannot be done on your own. You have the power. You have power to move mountains. You have power to cast out the darkness. You have power over fear. You have power over anxiety. You have power over depression. You have power over your past. You have power over the old man. Because you are a new creation in Christ. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah. COVID-19, coronavirus disease 2019, is an illness caused by a virus. You know, coronaviruses, they're the common cold. Look it up. I'm not making it up. They're tied to the common cold. An outbreak is called an epidemic when there is a sudden increase in cases, as COVID-19 began spreading in Wuhan, China, where it had been enhanced by scientists through gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It became an epidemic. It started out as an epidemic in what they tried to sell to us, in the wet markets. Now, who in the world is going to go to a wet market and buy a bat anyhow to eat? You know, what kind of diet is that? You know. But they tried to convince us that's where it came from. They lied to us from the very beginning. Because the disease then spread across several countries and affected a large number of people, it was classified as a pandemic. They could have handled things when it was an epidemic, but they didn't. kind of like just, I'm sorry, it ticks you off, doesn't it? Now, Robin Bullock, he was prophesying on April 30th, 2019. And while he was prophesying, in the middle of his prophecy, this is what, I wrote down his words. And he stopped, it is some kind of sickness. Some kind of plague. Some kind of sickness. And he shook his head. A plague. And then he said, this is some kind of international thing. We really need to pray against this. It's like a plague trying to develop in the world right now, he said. And then he went off and he prayed about it. Wasn't enough people that took notice of what was said that day in that prophecy. Then he come on and after he got done praying, he stopped and he said, it's a disease. Some kind of plague. Some kind of, and he just says, it's not quite a plague. It's like a pestilence. An epidemic. When it first started, it was an epidemic. He called it out then. He said, it's trying to develop right now. And he said, people are going to take advantage of this. People that are unscrupulous, they're going to take advantage of this thing. This is not good. He said, this is not good. Wow. Where are we at today? Evil people have been taking advantage of this pandemic. As we have seen. And we continually see this every day. They have tried to gain total control and run tyranny over top of us. They have oppressed us over this. They have used this to steal an election. It has affected us in so many ways. What they've used for evil, though, God's going to turn for good. God's going to cleanse this, and he's going to cleanse the nation. Now, is there people fighting this? Yeah. Is it real? Yes, it is. But we have the right to deny it a place in our bodies. We have a right. We need to use the word. We need to use the word. And you need to be taking supplements. Yeah. Vitamins and herbs. They help. You know why? Because we don't eat properly. We don't eat like they used to eat. I mean, in here, ain't none of us eat right. Including me. I watch, and I still don't eat right. So what's wrong with taking vitamins that are found in the natural sources? Nothing. Well, I encourage you, take your supplements. Take the word. There's still some that are fighting off. And I think they'll let me do this. The Concertus fought through COVID. It started with one. The one who was vaccinated because of her job. But it hit the whole family. called for prayer. We're praying. I says, are you praying Psalm 91? She sent back, she said, we've been praying every day, every day. We're praying on it. It's okay. She said, it's hanging on my wall. I said, you continually stand on that. And then I said, you stand on Galatians 3:13. I says, because you've been redeemed from this. You and every one of your family, Kenzie and all of them. Well, she got, I got a text from her yesterday. They've all been retested. They're all negative. They came through it. The one who got the shot ended up was the one who was affected the most. Well, what can I say? You know, I'm not against vaccines, but I'm against this one. You know, if they're proving it's something, this is not proven. This is experimental. Oh, I don't even know where I'm going. Why I'm, but I think we need a booster. We need to know we need to stand on the word, because the attacks continually come, and it's the word that defeats the attacks. Puts the devil in his place. Just like Jesus did. What did he do? He spoke the word. He said, it is written. We can say the same thing. It is written. This disease has cost people their lives. And it's cost their lives because they can't get the medications that they should be giving them. The things that work, they're not giving them. The things they think might help, they're giving them. Then they pump you full of steroids and everything else. People are going to pay for this. People will pay for this. Because there's a day of judgment that's coming. And it's coming pretty quick. Yeah, they're making us. There are things out there that are working. We know they're working, but there are people that control the system that are not letting people have access to it. Let's get back on to the message here. Hallelujah. Satan wants to destroy America, because America is what stands in his way of taking the world. See, that's what he wants. He wants the world. See, America stands in his way. We've heard the quote, as goes America, so goes the world. Well, you know there's a hymnal that was written back in and published in 1920. And the title of it is called, As Goes America, So Goes the World. I'm going to read that for you. As goes America, so goes the world. Here, where the fight for truth is raging, that's almost today. As goes America, so goes the world. Here, where the hosts are now engaging, because we're awakened. Verse 2, as goes America, so goes the world. Here, freedom makes her last endeavor. As goes America, so goes the world. Fell she, and all is lost forever. As goes America, so goes the world. Here, lift we Christ, the light bestowing. As goes America, so goes the world. Here serve we God in rightful doing. As goes America, so goes the world. Foremost and highest in her station. As goes America, so goes the world. Leader and guide to the every nation. Stand thou for righteousness, people so blessed. Win thou the victory, greatest and best. Lead on so grand and free, nation of destiny. As goes America, so goes the world. How true that is. We are a blessed nation, glory be to God. What does it say in Psalm 33, verse 12? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This is God's nation. A nation with a plan and a purpose from God Almighty. America shall be saved. I'm telling you. God is using America. But because of the influence of America throughout the world, you can see what's happening. You can see what's happening in France, in Australia, in Austria. You can see it, the people. They have looked and saw what this country stood for. And they're now rallying together. Our nation is rallying, as you have seen. They're rallying together. In Canada, a 43-mile-long trucker's convoy. Do you see that, Brother Larry? 43 miles long. And they said there's over 50,000 truckers involved in this. Wow. And they're going across the whole country of Canada because they don't want the jab. And the truckers in this country are starting to rally behind them. But that's what we used to do. But see, they're taking and saying, hey, that's what this country did. They made it a fact. They made a change. Well, they are making a change. They are making a change up there. In all the different localities, they're starting to roll out and get rid of the vaccine mandates. Because they know that those truckers, if they gather together and pull and park their rigs, boom, country's done. Now, country is done. Same thing will happen here. OSHA, that's why they backed off. You'd have been messing with them truckers, I'm telling you. I grew up with truckers. You don't mess with them dudes. Don't play by the rules. As long as you abide by the rules. You see, people want to abuse the rules in our government. But America shall be saved. A 1630 sermon by John Winthrop aboard the flagship Arbella is now famous mainly for its proclamation that we shall be as a city upon a hill. He took this from Matthew 5, verse 14, where Jesus said, you, he's speaking to us, you are the light of the world. And we make up a nation, do we not? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Beginning in the 1970s, Ronald Reagan placed that line from that sermon at the center of his political career. You can see how that worked out for him. President Reagan said, America is a shining city upon a hill whose beacon light guides freedom-loving people everywhere. America is a light unto the world because of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But for us, in Philippians 2, 14 through 16, Do all things without complaining and arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hold fast the word of life. So we do not have inherent light, but rather we have reflective light. As we, as a nation, behold the glory of the Lord, we reflect it. It is important that nothing comes between us and the Lord's light to the world. People of the world look to America. They look to the church. They look unto the ecclesia. And we can say that the gates of hell will not prevail against the ecclesia, because it's Jesus's. It's His. It's His church. We are the church. We will prevail against those gates. You hear that, Satan? Yeah, I'll speak out to him. I'm not afraid to address him. I do at home. I got to get up and go outside and start screaming at him. Some of the texts, some of the phone calls I get, I feel bad for people. And that's, I don't think it's I feel bad. I have compassion for them. So I go out, I agree with them, but then I go out and I start screaming at the devil, because that's who's bringing this all around. And a lot of them get turned off because they start to worrying. Worrying is sin. And then they start reacting to fear. You aren't supposed to be in fear. So we need to make our stand. Just as in Exodus, this is what the Lord is saying to us. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. And He will bring it to you today. And I'm going to modify the last part of that scripture. And this is your pastor's one. The crooked, evil, conniving, devious politicians and those in the medical profession who have abused their right and their privilege, you shall see today, you will not see again tomorrow. Amen. Amen. I think I better stop there, because I think we need to take time and, you know,